Good morning.
Good to worship with you here in person and also online. If you haven't found our bulletin online yet, you can find it on our website under the Staying Connected to God's Word link. Again, if you receive our weekly emails, you'll find the link to the bulletin there also. We are moving from a short Christmas season in the church year to today, Epiphany Sunday. Epiphany, focusing on the appearing of Christ as true God and true man, evidence of the fact that he came here on earth to do what he came to do. More on that as we get into the service. So when is the last time you had a light bulb moment? That is, something clicked or a good idea popped into your mind. Light bulb moments are not new, right? And they can happen at any time, even during worship. We have a light bulb moment on this Epiphany Sunday. It is not a new one, and yet it is one we dare not take for granted. What exactly is this light bulb moment? Is our focus. God be praised. I invite your attention to our invocation on page 3. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord.
Let us shout aloud to the God of our salvation.
Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song.
For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods.
Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Please stand. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him.
This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His word is not in us.
God invites us to come into His presence and worship Him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask Him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
For all that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care.
Amen.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. Seated. Today, as we celebrate the Epiphany of our Lord, a reading from Holy Scripture, 1 Kings chapter 10, King Solomon had been blessed with wisdom and wealth, and it was to be used for good, to the glorifying of God's holy name. When the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relationship to the Lord, she came to test Solomon with hard questions. Arriving at Jerusalem with a very great caravan, with camels carrying spices, large quantities of gold and precious stones, she came to Solomon and talked with him about all that she had on her mind. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. When the Queen of Sheba saw all the wisdom of Solomon and the palace he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his officials, the attending servants in their robes, his cupbearers, and the burnt offerings he made at the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed. She said to the king, "The report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true. But I did not believe these things until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half was told me. In wisdom and wealth, you have far exceeded the report I heard. How happy your people must be. How happy your officials who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on the throne of Israel. Because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, he has made you king to maintain justice and righteousness." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We join in our psalm for today, Psalm 72. Who doesn't love a good mystery, especially when the answer becomes revealed? A reading from Holy Scripture, Ephesians 3. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
please stand for our gospel reading? A reading from the Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Matthew, the second chapter. This reading is full of life lessons. May you pick them up as we hear these words of our Lord. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we sing our hymn of the day. You know what's still yours in the new year? Still, I know, 2 days in. God's grace, His mercy, and His peace are still yours in great abundance. And this is all possible through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. whose birth we were privileged to celebrate yet again. And the message of Christmas, though the day may be past, the message, it lives on. The word of our Lord that we want to focus our attention on this Epiphany Sunday comes to us from the book of Ephesians, where we hear again, "This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came for you and for all, and we are to be ever grateful. How many of you have played the game Clue? Didn't ask if you liked it, but did you play it? And for those who aren't familiar, and those who are familiar, right, you get the opportunity to take guesses of who did it and in what room and with what weapon. How many of you have guessed right on the first try? Starts out as a mystery. And for those of us who like mysteries, it's a fun game. How many of you remember watching Scooby-Doo? Maybe you still do. And his human friends and their mystery machine van. How many of you were frightened right along with them and trying to solve the mysteries that they would fall upon? How many of you enjoy reading a good mystery novel? Or maybe watching a good mystery movie? Some people really get into mysteries. Who do you think is the best mystery writer of all time? Give you one hint. Three letters, two consonants, one vowel. God is the best mystery writer of all time. There is still so much about God that is a mystery to us, and yet in His goodness, in His grace, God has made so much known to us. What we need to know, He has made sure has been revealed, especially regarding our salvation. Why salvation is necessary in the first place? Because of what we see happening in the world day in and day out, taking place in our own lives and in the lives of others. Sin. Sin which makes salvation necessary. And then connected to this mystery revealed related to salvation is the peace, the forgiveness that comes with that salvation, which the world is searching for. And by God's grace, it's right there in front of them. A mystery no longer. At least it shouldn't be. You see, this mystery that the Apostle Paul was led to write about, it's a mystery rooted in grace. It's a mystery that needed to be revealed. Because no human being was going to come up with the way of salvation that truly would be beneficial for all humankind. I mean, think of how many human beings continue to find ways to deal with sin and to come up with peace for themselves and for the world. And come up with all their own ideas about what God is like or what He should be like. And how many churches have fallen to the wayside as well. Churches who had the revealed knowledge and have let it go. or churches who never had it but claim to have it and so deceive many people? How many build their lives in and outside of the church, and they build their salvation on their deeds, their own righteousness? I mean, by nature, that's how we think it needs to be. We are good people. If we do a few good things, God, if there is a God, will be pleasing of us and will let us into his heaven, if there is a heaven. I mean, even many movie stars claim that there are multiple paths to heaven, to nirvana. Surely they can't be wrong. We've built them up to not be wrong. But they are. There is only one way. God has revealed that way. He had to reveal it to the Apostle Paul as well. A salvation rooted in grace. Not only did it need to be revealed to us because we would not come up with it on our own, we are in desperate need of this salvation because of our sins. Not just the sins of other people, but our own sins. I mean, we're just a couple days into the new year. How many sins have you already committed against God and against your neighbor? Are you still living together outside of marriage? That's a sin against God. Are you still doing drugs to find some euphoria? That's a sin against God. Are you finding solutions still in a bottle? And that bottle makes you mean and careless? That's still a sin against God. That hasn't changed just because a date on the calendar changed. Do you doubt God's love for you in the new year, carrying over doubts from the previous year of how loving God is and how he provides for us, but you're not seeing it in your own life, so you think? Have you misused his name already in the new year? Taken his name in vain? Have you cursed out your neighbor already? Have you spoken ill of our government leaders? They're still worthy of respect, though we may not agree with all their decisions. You know, the list of sins could go on and on and on of why we don't deserve God's grace. And that, in a sense, makes it a mystery in and of itself. Why would God give to us, undeserving human beings, his grace? Why would he give us an opportunity to be reconciled unto himself? It's not because of who we are or who we thought we would become. It's purely his grace. The mystery, thankfully, has been revealed. And at the heart of that revealed mystery, out of grace, is the gift of Jesus Christ. God kept his promise. Jesus came into this world, a tiny baby, but not to remain such. He appeared among us and proved himself to be the promised one. He fulfilled the words of the prophets. He did miracles. He spoke words of power and of peace and of triumph. He indeed is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The mystery about who the Savior was revealed. Magi from the east came to worship him. And rightly so. Because by the grace of God, they were able to see more than just a tiny baby. This was the one who would be the Savior of the nations, the Savior of the world, of Jew and Gentile. Another mystery revealed. The gospel was not just for the Jews. It's always been meant for all people. And so Jesus took upon himself all of our sins, the ones that were mentioned and the ones that haven't been mentioned, the ones in our thoughts and the ones that we commit with our words and our actions. He has taken all of our sins and he nailed them on the cross and left them there. Why? Grace. So that we could be reconciled with God our Father, the creator of this universe. And not only then did Jesus die as our substitute and win complete salvation for us, he rose again. And because he lives, we too shall live. Death had no mastery over him, and death has no mastery over us. And that's an important truth to keep in mind, especially as this pandemic, the cause of it just keeps on lingering on. And people are driven by fear. Common sense we need. Fear, that's the devil's tool. And who overcame fear? Jesus. The mystery has been revealed. A mystery rooted in grace. And another part of that mystery that has been revealed, as was we alluded to already, was that the gospel was not just meant for the Jews, though they had it first. The Apostle Paul talks about the fact in the theme of Romans, talking about the power of the gospel, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. The prophet Isaiah emphasized how the gospel would be for all people. The Jews really didn't have any special privileges with that gospel. They were privileged to be the chosen ones, not again because of who they were or who they would become, but because of God's grace. He chose them to be the one through whom the Savior would take on human flesh. They were to be beacons to the people around them. They were to be salt and light. And yet, how often did they fail at that? And so the Lord had to reel them in again and again and again. And yet by his grace, he allowed a remnant to return so that the promise could carry on. So that you and I, Gentiles, could hear the gospel and have the mystery revealed. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles, you and me, are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul was called by the grace of God to make this mystery clear, to not keep it a mystery any longer. And what a fitting person to do just that, right? The Apostle Paul, a Jew, a Pharisee of Pharisees, a Roman citizen, God, again, using that for his gospel purposes, as Paul would be able to travel the known world. But Paul recognized that he did not deserve this privilege. He did not deserve the gospel. He called himself least of all the apostles. And he also calls himself the chief of sinners. Of anyone who should not have been shown grace, he says it should have been him, and yet he was shown grace. And who better than to reveal God's grace to other people than someone who truly appreciates God's grace in their life? And does that describe you? Someone who truly appreciates God's grace in your own life? You can wrestle the Apostle Paul for the title of chief of sinners. But don't forget the title that the Apostle Paul was also given by God through grace. A title that is yours too. Forgiven. An heir of heaven. And as such, God has a purpose for your life, just as he did for the Apostle Paul. That purpose is to keep making the mystery known. God has called you to such a task, just as he called the Apostle Paul. Maybe not in such a dramatic fashion, but yet very powerful. Many of you, through the gift of baptism when you were an infant, the power of God's grace in action, the washing of water with the word. For others of you, later in life, again, through the gospel by God's grace, as the gospel took hold in your heart by the work of the Holy Spirit, not by accident, not by chance, but by God's doing. Do we see the grace in our life? By his bringing us into a relationship with him through his means of grace. And then you see why God continually reminds us through Holy Scripture how important it is to stay connected to him through that means of grace. Because he knows how fragile we human beings can be. If we're not connected, we get all spiritually ugly. And we've become spiritually dead again. And God takes no pleasure in the death of the spiritually dead. And so he provides us with opportunities to stay connected to his means of grace. And then as people who are connected to his means of grace, he fuels you to keep making that mystery known to other people. To those who are not able to be in the house of God, either in person or online. You know who they are. You know who to encourage with the gospel. To help them appreciate the grace of God in their life. To not take it for granted any longer. So that they in turn can make the mystery known to someone else. How many people have failed to come to see the mystery revealed because someone has fallen away from the church and failed to let the light of Jesus shine through them? Now God will call his own. But let us not shirk our responsibility and privilege. God has given our life purpose. It's not in titles, past or present. It's not in our bank accounts. It's not in what church office we serve. It's in being his child, his heir. And with this purpose comes great responsibility and privilege to be his salt and light, to keep making the mystery known so that other people locally and across the world can come to glorify God with us and grow in his word, and they too go with his gospel. Your life does have purpose. Don't believe the lies of the world that think you need to have a title or six figures behind your name or in your bank account at all time to be successful, to be somebody. You're somebody already. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And that, dear friends, comes with great benefits. Did you catch the last words of Ephesians 3 that serve as our text. In him, that is Christ Jesus, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. You don't have to sacrifice your firstborn first. You don't have to give a certain amount of offerings. You don't have to go and knock on a certain amount of doors first before you have to go and have an opportunity to talk with God. Women are allowed to wear makeup or not wear makeup. You can wear dresses below your knees or above your knees. Careful. Right? God doesn't put restrictions on us. Man does. The church, small c, does. And so we miss the freedom and the confidence that God has enabled us to have through his Son, Christ Jesus. Talk about an epiphany. Go to God. Continue to go to God with such freedom and confidence, with what's on your mind, with the doubts that are plaguing you, with the sins that are plaguing you. Ask him to help you wrestle through them and overcome. Ask him for a stronger relationship with him. And you know how he answers that, right? He directs you right back to his word and to his supper. Don't exchange such freedom and confidence for the enslavement of the world and other benefits as well. Come with having this relationship. You get an opportunity to impact the lives of others. And as we do, what kind of feeling comes over you? It's a good feeling. Give praise to God for the good feelings of being able to help your neighbor. Give thanks to God for the opportunities to share the gospel with someone. And you get to see the light bulb go on in their mind and in their heart and in their lives. Good feelings are a gift from God. But our faith is not based on those feelings. It's based on the facts which drive such feelings. Life doesn't have to be a mystery. But for too many in our world, it is. Too many are still living in the dark and are clueless. But God has revealed an important mystery. And he doesn't want people to remain clueless. So, dear friends, keep making the mystery known. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our faith using a confession of faith found for us on page 10.
We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And his kingdom will have no end. Amen. Please be seated.
As we turn into a new year on the calendar, may the Lord God continue to refresh us through his word and also provide us with ongoing opportunities to share that gospel locally and abroad. And our thank offerings help us do just that. As the dollars we give by God's grace are really ministry in action. And so thank you for your ongoing gifts to God, gifts that God has given to you first, gifts to the church, which then can help us do our ministry here and also support ministry worldwide. What a privilege and opportunity. We turn to the prayer of the church. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God and Mary's Son, in the fullness of time you came into our world to save us from sin and death.
You ushered in the day of grace so long ago.
Beloved Son of the Father, revered by the Magi, baptized by John, you came preaching and teaching, healing and comforting, forgiving and encouraging.
You brought the light of life to those walking in darkness, and the joy of salvation to those doomed to death.
Prince of Peace, shine like a beacon for us and the people of our world. Let the good news of salvation be heard in the remotest corners of the earth. Open our own lips to speak your name to those around us who still live without faith or hope. Lord of the Church, let your peace rule our hearts, that we may use our gifts to serve you and each other in willing gratitude and joy. Watch over our loved ones near and far, that they may remember your love and rejoice in your salvation. Strengthen the faith of the sick and the disheartened. Give hope to those in despair and comfort those who mourn.
Be gracious to all and lead us to reflect your love.
O Christ, our true and only light, enlighten those who sit in night. Let those afar now hear your voice, and in your fold with us rejoice. Lord, give us always generous hearts to use what you have given, to spread your gospel near and far, and bring people into heaven. Lord, as we enter into a new year on the calendar, may we use this turn on the page as an opportunity to renew ourselves to you, to how we can glorify your name even more in this new year, how we can grow in our relationship with you and in Bible knowledge in this new year, how we can make the most of opportunities to go with your name and word in this new year as people around us and far from us are still clueless about Jesus. Help us encourage those who have fallen away from our church and have disconnected with you, though in their minds they may think they are still connected. The lip service is not the same as faith in action. For those among us who are in need of physical healing, such as Norma Pluckham, who was in the hospital, grant them such while also lifting up their spirits, knowing you remain true to your promises to be with your people always. For those among us who are in need of emotional support and stress relief, help them find it. It is with freedom and confidence we come before you with such requests. And we thank you, Lord, for those who are able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. Continue to shower them with your blessings. May those among us celebrating a wedding anniversary be renewed in their love for each other, reflecting this in their words and actions. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Finally, bring us and all your believers to the heavenly home, where we will stand in the full light of your glory, and with all your saints and angels, sing the everlasting song of triumph.
Amen.
And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. As we turn to the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Now may this body which was given for you and this blood which was shed for you strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go and continue to live your life in peace and with confidence and in joy. You are at peace with God. Amen. We pray. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Morning again, and a blessed new year to each and every one of you. Just a reminder, the Connect cards are there. If you haven't filled one out, please do so, and you can return it in the basket there on the table in the lobby. And if you're guests among us, again, don't forget to fill out the backside. And if you see guests among us at any time in the new year, I encourage them to fill out those cards. We'd appreciate that. A special thank you to our musicians as we start the new year, and this also includes a special guest today, Navy Officer Joel Thiesfeld. Thank you for the trumpet. Beautiful addition. Bible study taking place today. We have a new topic going on here in the main body of the church. We're looking at the Ten Commandments and application of those commandments. And today the teens will be joining us. There will not be a teen class, but when the teens do reunite again, they'll be looking at a new study called Christians and Conflict. So they'll be looking at that. Sunday school is supposed to start today too. Again, they'll be starting with singing in the chapel if they start today. Direct your attention to page 14 of the bulletin at some point in time. We have reflection questions based on today's readings, and also then just a brief outline of the church here. The major festivals and the colors that go with them, and just a brief description of what makes those the major festivals. So hopefully that'll intrigue you. We'll look at that a little more in depth as we get to the third commandment in our commandment Bible study. Thank offering envelopes for 2022 are still available. If you've picked yours up already, thank you. And they're still there if you haven't picked them up. And if you see somebody here and you see their envelopes are still there, maybe you can just politely say, hey, here are your envelopes for 2022. Again, it's not because it's about the money. It's, again, the opportunity. Mission Box Sunday today. Don't forget about that important work in 2022. Lutheran Women's Missionary Society, the work that we do to make the mystery known throughout the world. School resumes tomorrow, good Lord willing. Not everybody's out with COVID. And then SMIBL starts, our St. Mark's Youth Basketball League. We had 100 kids signed up, and then this latest virus is taking some of our participants, but we will plow forward, right? Call meeting next week. Lord willing, we plan to call two teachers. We've modified the call, one of the calls slightly. Just real quick, we thank Mrs. Ripley for being willing next year to go from grades 3-4 to, junior K. Release time. Catch my throat there. So that's the goal of her focus, junior K, and then principal release time, so she still gets a handle in the upper grades. We'll see how that all plays out, because Lord willing, we'll have a kindergarten teacher to complement her in the early childhood ministry. So we're thankful for that move, and we ask her blessings, Lord's blessings on that move. And then so we'll be calling for a grade 3-4 teacher. Now, as at the call meeting, that could be a husband and wife team, that could be two separate individuals, it could be two individuals who come together and meet and get married, we don't know. We'll play it by ear, we'll keep moving forward. We may end up, you know, still going to Martin Luther College on assignment day. Options are still open, so we're thankful for that. But that's the new direction we're going. So if you come to the call meeting next week, that is why we're doing that. It hopefully opens up more opportunities to fill the positions. And then to see the weekly news for other things that are going on here at church and school. Have a great day in the Lord. Thank you.